Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving
Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name is Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Oh, I love this. The stakes are so high.
In those days, I didn't get a chance to use any unfortunate incidents as material, so Right. Thank goodness for this opportunity.
Sometimes, like, when I meet another person called Hannah, I'm like, oh my God, we must be friends.
Boy, am I. I wear some giant pants.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by comedian, podcaster, author, Rosie Welwyn.
Yay! Rosie, welcome. Oh, thank you.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm okay, but the dog has just been violently sick. So I am wondering if this could add an extra interesting texture to the home recording.
Oh, certainly an extra smell.
Some extra jeopardy.
Yes.
What kind of dog do you
have? Is it
a... She is a cross between a cocker and a beagle. So it's not really a proper, it was an accident.
Tell me it's a kegel. Tell me it's called a kegel.
I rather like beacock. Although the breeders who sold her to us, poor dog, they called it a bocker. So there are different names, and I think No one has decided really on the official name for a cross between a beagle and a cocker. Another interesting thing I learnt about dog breeds whilst proofreading my book recently is that only dog breeds named after a person or a place get a capital letter. Cocker Spaniel and Beagle do not get capital letters. I kept capitalising them, and my publisher kept changing them to lowercase. And I was like, my poor dog, she's not inferior to a Jack Russell or a Yorkie.
Wow.
Why do they keep... Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
That's really passive aggressive that she just changed it but didn't tell you why.
I know.
Sounds like an editor. Do you know what? We've talked about unusual crossbreeds. So it's when you say it was an accident, we sort of talked about unusual crossbreeds. And I've just learned, because we passed one the other day and it was adorable, but picture this. It's called a Pomsky. and it's a Pomeranian with a husky.
Oh, right.
I just hope that the female was the husky. Like, I really, because that's a great image. Yeah. But the other way, I'm sorry to plant that, but Pomskis, but they're so cute, it doesn't matter.
I'd watch that dog being sick. It would be cute. Yeah. Well, if you're a cat person, welcome to the podcast. Sorry about that. But
I have two cats as well.
Everyone is welcome here on Drunk Women's
Zone. And are they well? Rosie, are they well?
They're okay.
Good. Thank God.
So we've got one question apart from how are you on this podcast, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Well, yes. And I wanted to share with you the story of two thematically linked crimes that happened within a short space of time of one another. And we're going all the way back to the early noughties. Yes. Oh, traveling back in time to before comedy, BC. So in those days, I didn't get a chance to use any unfortunate incidents as material. So thank goodness for this opportunity. And the reason that these two stories are thematically linked is because they both are about obsolete gadgets getting stolen.
Nice.
And with hindsight, probably the thief did me a favour because I needed to upgrade and get rid of that old tat anyway. The first scenario, it's a rainy afternoon in Peckham. It sounds a bit like a song, doesn't it? Rainy day in Peckham.
I dig it.
And I was going to the gym, which, well, it's always a mistake, isn't it? You know, you're missing
out. Was this the crime?
That was not the crime. I ended up abandoning my plans for fitness. So, oh, the sicky dog has just walked in. I hope it's all going to be okay.
Oh, I love this. The stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Quick, kitchen towel, kitchen towel.
So I was on the way to the gym and I had my hood up because it was raining. And also at this time, I was texting a lot on my old school phone, mobile phone, because I was... Back in those days, I mean, I'm very kind of staid and boring these days, but back in those days, I was a bit of a naughty flirt and I was sort of carrying on with a few different ladies. I mean, everyone knew what was happening and it was all fine, but I was sort of text flirting whilst I was walking along. So I wasn't really paying attention to what was happening. And so didn't realise a young chap had darted out in front of me and he grabbed my mobile phone and ran off with it.
Oh.
And I kind of shouted, oi, or something, probably something more sweary. And, you know, thought about running after him, but then, you know, realised he was much faster than me because he'd been to the gym and I hadn't, I hadn't even made it there. But I also realised that my mobile phone was actually pretty crummy because it was an old... Now, I don't know if your listeners will even remember these phones. It was a Nokia 3310. And
That was the phone. I love that phone.
It was a classic. Mm. And these were the days when mobile phones were just for phone calls and texts.
Or playing Snake.
Playing Snake.
She knows.
Yes. Which was, of course, a game where you were represented on screen by a sort of ever elongating animal that you had to maneuver around your tiny screen and avoid crashing into your own tail as you navigated
really
a series of mazes.
Yeah, that sounds like some people's Twitter feed. Like, the whole time just, oh, how are they still doing this? Yes.
Well, this was all before Twitter, wasn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I did enjoy playing Snake, but I realised my phone was probably quite replaceable because I had another Nokia, probably not a 3310, but not dissimilar one.
Oh, Rosie had a burner phone. Rosie had a burner phone.
It was just an old...
How many girls were you texting? I mean, my God.
Yeah, the burner phone. Anyway, so I went back home and obviously... got my replacement SIM card. But when I popped that in my old phone, what I didn't realise is that the numbers and text messages all saved on the phone, not on the actual card.
Yes.
So all the messages and numbers that I had were from women that I'd been text flirting with about 6 months earlier who were no longer speaking to me.
Oh, no.
So this kind of taught me a lesson, really. And it brings me on to the next crime, which was a burglary that happened when I moved into a lesbian house share. It was quite a strict lesbian house share where no men were allowed across the threshold.
Wow.
So clearly that's why they felt they had to break in.
Were they like vampires? Were they allowed in if you invited them in, or they were just not allowed in at all?
Yeah, I think men were allowed as guests. if you could vouch for them.
This is a good anyway. System.
So there was this burglary, but I wondered if it perhaps was even a man because it was a very targeted and specific burglary. Ooh. Where only stuff from my room at the top of the house was taken.
Oh, no.
So I wondered if it was one of my disgruntled exes from 6 months previously who'd wondered why I'd ghosted her.
I mean, my detective sense was tingling there. I just thought to myself, I know who this was.
Yeah, exactly. But the even weirder thing was the two items that they took were my fax machine and my tennis racket.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Which I just, I have this image of the perpetrator of this crime sort of casually bouncing a ball against the wall whilst they await a fax to come through with criminal instructions.
It's either like some kind of fraternity dare, like you're allowed in the club if you can bring us a fax machine and a tennis racket. Right. Or it's like whoever you had upset that was trying to get you back was hammered when they came to rob you. And then they were like, oh, fuck it, I'm taking that. That looks big. I'll take the fax machine. I don't get it.
I was going to say, that is a hefty theft. I feel it was either very targeted or someone that just didn't think through, like, what can I carry? Because once you have a fax under your arm, you really only can pick up a tennis racket because you got to maneuver your way out then.
That's like, is there pretty any weird chance they got the room wrong and they were trying to be like, oh, man, I'm never going to get my tennis racket back off so-and-so. And then, you know, they got your room and actually that's not their tennis racket.
Well. Who knows, Casey? Who knows?
I've got ideas. I've got no answers.
I mean, maybe it was one of my former dates that I had a very grouchy kind of tennis match with. And ooh, she was like, that ball was out.
It's her.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to think because, like, if your room was at the top of the house and your room was the only stuff that got stolen from, like, I think I'd be offended if I was any of the other women in the house if this guy had gone through all our rooms and gone like, no, actually I don't think so. And then finally a fucking fax machine, he's cut his losses. And also by 2001 we're not really faxing anymore, so the fact he took it, good on him, I say. And I don't normally side with the perpetrator.
Or do you think it was like a friend going, look, she's never going to give up the fax machine, one of us has to just take it?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know why I still had it, really. I think I was just clinging on to the past in a sort of a wave of nostalgia.
Were you dating anyone that kept saying you were a hoarder?
Yes, I have dated lots of people who've said I'm a hoarder, yeah.
I feel like I'm zeroing in.
Yeah.
I'm relieved you added the dir at the end of that because I thought you were going to say, did anyone think you call you a whore? And it's like, where is this coming from? This is a strange line of questioning.
Yeah, you tennis whore. Like, yeah, that seems a
we're
bit unfair.
We're pro whore on this podcast anyway.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh man, I remember when I was a kid, we had a fax machine, and sometimes you'd get like junk faxes in the way that you get junk,
and they take ages.
And like, exactly, it would just come through, and it was so exciting to get a fax, and then it'd be like, oh fucking hell, it's a junk mail. And also, it costs about £1 to get a fax, I remember. Yeah. And so my dad, just to make us laugh when we were kids, and it really made us laugh, is he would get a pen, he'd just write "fuck off" across the top, and then fax it back to them, and it was. Love it. It's like the very earliest unsubscribe, but quite rude. But it just did it to make us laugh. But
good
it
stuff.
Really, really tickled me.
What age were you when your dad scrawling "fuck off" on stuff?
Yeah, old enough that he probably let me write it a couple of times, you know. So. So Rosie, we ask on this podcast, we say, What would you say to that person now? What would you say to the person who stole your fax machine and your tennis racket and your sense of security in your own home?
Oh, well, I mean, you've made it a more powerful question. You've made it more loaded yes, now, haven't you? I mean, because if it had just been about the fax machine and the tennis racket, maybe, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
particularly the fax machine. I didn't really need that anymore. Yeah, no, on a maybe more serious note for a moment, it was actually at a time where I didn't feel entirely secure in my own home because not long before I had moved into that house share and I'd been single and on my own, living on my own and stuff before that, I had broken up from a relationship after our flat had burned down in a house fire.
Oh, shit.
That's dramatic. You weren't expecting that twist, were you? So I actually did feel quite protective of my possessions and did hold on to weird old stuff because I had seen only a year or so previously all my stuff literally sort of go up in smoke. And our weird neighbour, he did phone the fire brigade, but I think not until he'd actually taken a photo of smoke billowing out the window.
Ooh.
Which is weird.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, Snapchat hadn't even been invented at that point. Like, there's nowhere to put it.
I know.
Like, he's got that in an album.
Yeah, that's
weird.
That is really, really, I know. It's all very strange. And the other weird thing is after the fire and me and my girlfriend were staying with some friends, kind of camping on their floor, basically, for that summer. And all our friends lent us old clothes and found old bits and bobs down the backs of their wardrobes that we could wear because all our clothes had, you know, disappeared. And one friend even popped in her brownie uniform.
Oh, my gosh.
Talking about getting rid of old tats. Okay. I don't know if it was a mistake, but or if she thought, Rosie will like this.
Wow.
And did you?
Because in brownies, don't you... You kind of learn to make fire in brownies, and I'm not sure that's the right thing for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just... Wow. I mean, everything is just reigniting trauma, but I'm so pleased to have shared it and offloaded with you ladies now so many years later. I finally feel relieved of a burden.
Thank you for sharing that with us because that's utterly bizarre. I always find it bizarre the things that people take from a robbery. And also the fact that there was a time when someone would steal a 3310. I love that. Well, I'm sorry it happened.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Today, we discuss the Winchester Mystery House.
Ooh, I love Winchester.
Unfortunately, spoiler alert, it is not in Winchester.
What a twist.
I know.
What a twist already.
It's an early twist.
Guys, can we all just strap in, please?
Is it even a house and a mystery?
I don't know what to believe already.
So this is about a boat in Southampton. Everything's very straightforward.
Guys, it's a mansion, so it's not actually a house. And it's in San Jose, California.
Uh-huh.
And it was once the residence of Sarah Winchester.
Ew.
So that is why it's called the Winchester Mystery.
She just sounds like she would go... Oh, even though she's American, she would have that sort of, where am I from? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah, I did think when you immediately did your English impression, I was like, okay. She could be English, she's not. But Sarah was the widow of William Wirt Winchester. Now, we're in the 1880s, and William was a magnate. And you do not use the word magnate lightly. He made a lot of money. He made bonkers money. Now, 1880, you're a man. You're called William Wirt Winchester. What did you do to make all of that money?
Oil.
Guns. Oil? Guns? Who said guns?
I did.
Taylor said guns.
Fax machines.
He was so ahead of his time.
That was really the peak of fax machines, let's be honest.
He could be doing telecommunications.
Someone was right, and I'm going to tell you who it was.
It was me,
right? Taylor.
Wow.
He was the president of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. Mm. So the Winchester, have you ever heard of a gun called the Winchester?
Yes.
It's a really famous gun, right? It says that it was the gun that won the West. It was one of the most popular rifles in the US. So the Winchester Company actually didn't just make guns. They also made some other stuff. But the one that really caught my eye was that they also manufactured a children's toy.
Oh, no.
That we probably all had as a child.
Oh my God.
Any ideas what the gun company were also making for children?
Hula hoops.
Hula hoops, I like it.
Slinkies.
Slinkies. Good thoughts, Taylor.
I'm trying to think of something you could make with leftover gun parts that we all had. So I'm like, a kazoo out of the barrel.
I think it could be a toy.
Gosh. See, this is a long time ago.
Yeah, I feel like it's pre-pogo sticks, right?
Way before.
Something that's metal. But they kind of, the ones that I had when I was a kid, they were Fisher Price and they were plastic. They were not metal. But at the time, these things were metal.
Okay. Fisher. Toy guns.
Toy guns, okay.
Wait. No, I got nothing.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was roller skates.
Oh, damn.
I would not have got there.
Metal roller skates.
Like they were made of metal and then they had the wheels and some leather straps
Sounds
or whatever on the top.
Comfy. Sounds really,
they could have
really
had little,
comfy.
Little guns on them.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Make them go faster.
Yeah.
How so weird.
Yeah.
That's just
really weird.
Okay.
It's like, so we did another case about guns the other day, and the guy that invented the machine gun also invented hair curlers. And there's such a weird crossover with, we call them gun guys.
Gun guys,
so,
yeah.
William Winchester, who's a big gun guy, died. All of his profits went to his wife. So he owned 50% of the company. And the company brought in daily money to Sarah. So daily she was getting paid. So how much money per day in today's money do you think Sarah was receiving from the Winchester Repeating Arms Company?
Oh, man.
Well, see, this gun is so famous that Shaun of the Dead decided to make the pub called the Winchester. There's a real gun, isn't there, that they then use to kill zombies?
Hey, you genius. Yes, it is. Wow.
Whoa. Good reference.
That's how you heard of the Winchester. That's so funny.
I'm a kinetic learner. Is that the word? I don't know. I'm going to say $1 million a day in today's money.
I bet it's higher
than that, though. Well, you know what? I read a statistic the other day that up until recent times, Americans were buying 3 million guns a year. And now it's like 10 million or something. But that's only happened in the last couple of decades. For like for ages, it was 3 million guns, new guns a year were being bought.
Mm-hmm.
Like on an even keel.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sticking with $1 million a day she's getting.
I'm not sure it's quite that much, but I think it's going to be a pretty staggering amount. I'm going to go with $150,000 a day.
I'm going to split the difference. Between
that's right.
Two.
That's right. You know how to play.
That's how you win. The Price is Right.
Yeah. I'm going to go $500,000.
Okay. Well, we've done that thing where I've asked the question and you've all gone way higher and now it doesn't seem as impressive.
Because it's daily. I know. Like it's daily.
I was done.
These are ridiculous numbers.
No, do you know what? You weren't, because actually 50% of the company, which is what she got the money for, was the equivalent of £543 million today. So that's how much she made just in capital in just 50% of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And daily, she made $26,000 a day from the company.
That's a good chunk of change, my friend. Wow.
That'll do.
Not shabby.
Gun money. Good, clean gun money.
You can buy a lot of fax machines with that.
So much fax. Just the fax.
And
man.
Roller skates.
Yeah.
Oh, what a life. Just roller skating between your fax machines, faxing herself. She's got a lot of money and she builds the Winchester Mystery House. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on
Sarah. Is she good in the first panic room game?
Hold that thought, because it's it all comes around. So Sarah was born to the Pardy family, which Pardy, that's literally what her surname was, which I think is great. Who were a respectable upper middle class New Haven family.
Oh.
And she was a child prodigy.
I'll be doing that throughout.
You're right all along. By 12, she was fluent in Latin, French, Spanish, and Italian. And at an early age, she was admitted to Yale's only female institution known as the Young Ladies Collegiate Institute. So she's a clever girl. And this is just a little bit of a thing that I found out when I was researching, but I just found it really interesting. And she met two other female scholars there who were the nieces of a woman called Delia Bacon. Now, you don't find a woman called Delia Bacon and don't look her up, because that is a strong fucking name.
That is a strong name. I would like her recipes.
So she, Delia Bacon, attracted considerable fame and attention for writing a treatise claiming someone else wrote Shakespeare's works. It wasn't Shakespeare. It was someone else. And of course, there's lots of people who have claimed lots of different things with this. Who do you think she claimed had written Shakespeare's work? And she's saying this in like the 18...
Amelia, the Dark Lady, or whatever the rumours were.
Ah, Amelia, like the play in the West End recently. Okay, Amelia.
The poem. Wasn't that her, the poem, My Lady Thingamy?
Yes, yeah. That's a good guess.
This is going to be an American, though. Like, this feels like she's going to... It's going to make as much sense as Mormonism in terms of timeline.
Well, like, is it because what people say? I've got the name Christopher Marlowe in my head, and I don't know where it's come from, and I feel like it's false. But weren't there loads of claims that loads of other people had written loads of stuff, and that it was like a conglomerate of loads of writers? That's one of the things.
She specifically says someone, but Christopher Marlowe is a good guess. Golly.
Shakespeare's sister, the band from the 90s.
I will give you a clue. Look at her name.
Delia Bacon. Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon.
Oh. Nice.
Yes.
Okay. And
the thing is, like, apparently she had no relation to him. And that's the thing that I really like. I just like the fact you know, sometimes like when I meet another person called Hannah, I'm like, oh my God, we must be friends. I feel like that's what
you have. You have an affinity.
Oh my God, same surname.
I will fight for your reputation.
But there can't be that many Bacons.
No.
Well, yeah, you'd think as well, but apparently no relation. And the movement was called Bacon is Shakespeare, which I agree with.
I really want this to have been like a really good thing. And I'm kind of like, I feel like we've tipped into crazy town a little bit here. She's not even related to him. She's trying to like...
I don't give a fuck. I want a t-shirt that says Bacon is Shakespeare. I will wear that every day in my life. That is the best thing I've heard in a long, long time. I'm going to get them for my whole family. That's amazing. It is Bacon is Shakespeare.
So there's lots of stuff about it. I didn't read that much more into it.
You don't need more than that, Hannah. That's the best part of it.
Yeah, you just need the tagline.
So if we go back to the boring mystery house. Yeah.
Ew.
We go back to, this is Sarah's life with William. So William dies of tuberculosis in 1881. And shortly before this, Sarah and William's six-week-old daughter, Annie, also dies of marasmus, which was a kind of malnutrition. It just meant she couldn't get the nutrition that she needed. Mm. This is a desperately sad moment in Sarah's life. So Sarah moves from New Haven, where
she lived.
Sorry,
has she got any other kids, did you say?
No.
No other children.
So
okay.
Within 6 weeks, her baby is dead and her husband is dead.
Oh my gosh.
So she moves from New Haven to San Jose to build the Winchester Mystery House. I'll get onto why it's called the Mystery House in a moment. But my question to you is, why would a woman suddenly move to San Jose and build a crazy, it's just this crazy mansion? And also, there's not necessarily a crime in this story, but this is the part that I think is the crime. So something happens that makes her, someone tells her to do it, basically. Who do you think that person
Bacon
is?
Bacon Shakespeare lady?
Bacon Shakespeare lady.
Shakespeare said
Delia.
So.
Yeah. Delia.
I think a fortune teller, this feels like she went to a clairvoyant because you go when you're the most desperate. She's had two horrible losses and this is some charlatan
in
New Haven
vulnerable.
Or something. Yeah.
Mm.
I see you in San Jose with, it's either a mystery horse or it could be, it's one of those situations, I think.
What do you think, Rosie?
Well, yeah, I think she's absolutely in a vulnerable place. And so you kind of do anything, you do all kinds of things, but I'm struggling to think why building a mystery house is going to be a crime.
Yeah, what's tipped her into it?
What? I know. Well, I think when you're on the edge like that, you do crazy things. You know, like I know, like after, obviously I mentioned my house burning, which is not quite the same as losing
it
your husband
of
and
is,
child.
Though.
But it's still loss. And also my girlfriend and I broke up at that time. And I do remember being in a really crazy space.
Yeah.
And if honestly, if someone had told me to go and build a mystery house in rainy Peckham, I would have done it, I think.
Yeah.
It was going to provide answers in some kind of spiritual sense. So I can see where she's coming from.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can focus.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Katie, any advance?
See, I like that because it like, it illuminates the state that she's in. We don't know what this mystery house is. Like, I was picturing a panic room, but is it maybe a house that's like dedicated to clairvoyance or trying to talk to people that have passed? Is there some kind of, is she trying to build a way to keep contact with her lost loved ones?
Yeah.
I haven't got a handle on the motive yet because she's,
that's interesting.
She's lost everything. I mean, she's still a billionaire, but like, I mean, I'm trying to have empathy for her loss because that is a huge loss. Because that would be enough to make you flip out and do anything. So if there's an extra thing pushing her to do that, I'm not quite sure what it is.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, spot on, really, is it was a medium. It was a spiritualist. It was, yeah. And so I just think that the house is fascinating. The whole, this woman is fascinating. And the crime for me comes here because I don't, you know, I don't think mediums are a good idea anyway, in the sense that people say, oh, you've just lost someone, I can talk to them. I've got a direct line to them. Just give me 500 quid or whatever.
Yeah.
100%. And this medium is like, I mean, she goes to town. So she goes to a medium, Sarah goes to a medium who says she can commune with the dead. And lo and behold, William's on the line. William's got something to say to her. So she says that William says that their recent tragedies, him dying and Annie dying, were a result of the blood money the family had made off the Winchester rifle and that they were cursed. And consequently, Sarah was cursed. William then said that Sarah must build a home for her.
Gun owner like has remorse, like she should have seen right through that. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's then, yeah, this medium goes on to say that William says that Sarah must build a home for herself, but here's the twist: construction on the house could never stop. Never. He said, if you continue building, you will live. Stop and you will die.
Oh, now,
wow.
This is like a chain letter, but the house. And
I guess what you do is you guarantee that the person will have no time to think, you're a charlatan. And I mean, nobody's suing anyone yet, but she is wealthy. So she could have gone after this person. That's a great way to be like, so you have to dig a hole, but you never stop digging or you die.
Oh my God.
A painful death. Oh boy.
I know.
Yeah. I wonder if that's why, because my girlfriend always wants to keep doing stuff to our house, like building on extensions. And I wonder if some medium has told her that, you know, she can't ever stop.
She's afraid of what happens if she stops. I think it's similar psychology.
Indeed.
It's a bit like going to the gym. It seems like people that do that like go all the time. Why do you keep going?
Oh my God, I would love a fucking medium to tell me I would die if I didn't go to the gym. I mean, that's a doctor, but the point
that's
is...
That's a GP, yeah.
Yeah.
What do they know?
He does sort of say why, but why do you think... Well, William says, the medium says, why do you think William is suggesting that Sarah, who is a lone widow, doesn't have any family apart from a niece, why do you think he's suggesting she builds a huge house and doesn't stop?
To bring children close to her. Is this like a fun house so she can't have Prices children so she can invite them in? Why at San Jose, though? Again, is that just like, so I'd like you to go to the far end of the country. You're going to have to go all the way west.
You know, only thing I know about San Jose is that song.
Do you know the way?
Yeah. I've been away so long. I make up and lose my mind.
Oh my God, did she write that?
Is that what this is coming to?
Amazing. Bacon Shakespeare with her number one hit.
She earned a few extra pounds on royalties on top of the gun money.
Yeah, she was a good businesswoman.
These days on Spotify, you'd get 30p every 7 years or something for a Bacon Sisters hit.
Bacon Sisters.
Basically,
Delia and
the medium... The medium tells her that William says that vengeful ghosts who had fallen as a result of the Winchester rifle would try to seek her out, so she has to build a grand home for her and the spirits.
Oh.
Oh.
Boy. I mean, yeah.
Well, she owes them a house? I'm not quite following.
Do they need a house? So,
well, this is a good question. I mean, this is a really good question.
Is this the plot of Casper the Friendly Ghost now?
I mean, it sort of feels as though, like, it's this house, but in the 90s. And actually, the house from Casper the Friendly Ghost is quite a good ballpark for what this house is like.
Oh, my God.
So keep that reference in mind. But yeah, so basically she does, Sarah, in this sort of, you know, she's an intelligent woman, we know this.
Yeah.
But in this moment of grief, she's kind of like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my next question is, if you were having $26,000 a day, but you knew it came from gun money, would you take it? Like,
well, you've had a huge loss, you're in mass trauma, mm-hmm. and then someone's telling you to feel shit about it and that you can't even accept the one thing that's like keeping a roof over your head or whatever. That's pretty confronting. Like, that's pretty, your soul is already half destroyed. That might destroy the other half of your soul and then you're kind of really fucked.
Yeah, and threaten ghosts to somebody who's just lost people, that's pretty freaky. And hell hath no fury like a homeless ghost. We all know that.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Casper's uncles.
Yeah. I've never seen Casper. I've never seen Casper.
I put it...
This is Die Hard all over again.
This is not Die Hard.
No, it's seriously not as good as Die Hard. We put it on for the kids a few months ago. It's ridiculous. I felt the need to say that out loud. But it's a very 90s tween film. But also with some stuff that you would not be allowed to put in a film now that was for kids.
Oh, there's so much of that in the older films. I'm like, hey, oh, there. It's crazy. like rapey jokes and stuff. I'm like, whoa, 80s, calm down.
Mm. Yeah. Yikes. Yeah, and even 90s and early 2000s and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's creeping ever closer. So basically, Sarah does. She does just that in 1884.
Hannah's really young, so she had to throw that in. She's like, in 2015. Also crazy, right? I was 12.
They were texting all those terrible jokes on their Nokia 3310s.
Yeah, and some of them weren't PC.
No.
Yeah, all of them. I don't know. Yeah, all of them, I imagine.
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So Sarah has built an unfinished farmhouse in the Santa Clara Valley and began building the mansion. So workmen were hired and worked on the house day and night. And I mean, literally day and night, because she was told not to stop. Wow. She didn't use an architect and added on to the building in a haphazard fashion until it became a 7-story labyrinth style.
Violated a lot of safety codes, I imagine.
I mean, there's your second crime. Yes.
Do I get to sing the Munsters yet? Ding 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 ding.
How do you even?
Did you guys even have the Munsters? I know you're very well versed in the Addams Family.
I mean, It's
the inferior Addams Family.
We had repeats.
Yeah. It's a terrible show.
They were in a Petit Filou advert as well.
Oh, you used to be able to buy the, they were characters on the yogurt pots. I wasn't allowed them because they had too much sugar in them.
Oh, poor Katie.
Oh, mate. Petit Filou. I remember when I first realised that you could have fromage frais and not yoghurt. And I was like, why have you been keeping this from me, Mum? Because it's so much better. Okay, so she's got this seven-storey labyrinth-style mansion. What's particularly interesting about this house, and the reason why I'm so interested in it, is the sheer amount of oddities and unusual design that went into it.
I can't believe there's no architect and that you can just still build a house. Like, who's in charge? Like, just go... Just build that.
I think like
shoes. Yeah. What are you building it from?
It sounds amazing. Like I can really picture it.
But literally, just build that. I think is probably what she said most morning.
Do another floor. Don't stop. Oh my god.
Yeah.
There's like a gingerbread room.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
You got a priest hole. You got a Harry Potter staircase. There's no rules.
Well, this is what's interesting is there are no rules. And so the oddities, for example, there are doors and stairs that go nowhere. Oh, so there'll be a set of stairs.
It's what's it called? Painting.
Oh, Isha.
Yeah, exactly.
Ascending and descending. When you never get anywhere, you just keep going round and round. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff like that.
So where would the... Yeah, it is philosophy. Where would the staircase end? Just with another staircase or just with a wall? And you
with the roof of the next floor.
Right.
So it would just stop.
Do you know what? They did this
but
thing.
Could you have had a little trap door to go through?
You could, but she didn't.
This is amazing.
She missed a trick.
She did miss
what
a trick.
An allegory.
They did this experiment where they gave... there's this book about sleep and stuff. And they gave spiders caffeine or something. And they built the craziest webs.
That makes me feel sad. I was just thinking, like, what an allegory it is for where she is. Just like the staircase to nowhere. Just this.
Yeah.
My God.
And actually, Rosie, I tell a lie because there were trapdoors, but just not at the top of the.
Not anywhere helpful. There were booby traps.
Yeah. 100%. There were secret passages. There were skylights in the floors. There's even a door on one of the top floors that you open it, you just walk off the building and you'll die.
Oh.
Like it's a door to nowhere it literally just...
Wow. Was Tim Burton born here? Because this just sounds like...
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So aside from just having eccentric tastes, and actually she kind of had some quite good taste. She had a lot of money. So a lot of this stuff, it was built, but my God, it's beautiful. Like the stuff actually looks incredible.
Nice. Yeah,
absolutely. And if you've got the cash, but aside from that, why do you think she's doing all that stuff? Particularly maybe the staircases to nowhere and the passageways and the labyrinth. Why has she done that?
Oh, are we assuming she has an actual... coherent reason rather than she's just a bit crazy.
Yeah, there's kind of a reason. I mean, the reason's kind of crazy, but
there's method to the madness.
She has a reason for it.
Okay, well, if this is the house for these disgruntled spirits, is it, why would you want to piss them off? Well, God damn it, this staircase goes nowhere and every day I go up it. That's my disgruntled
ghost. But I guess it doesn't matter to them because they can probably pass through the floors and ceilings and they can, fly and whiz around.
It's actually super fun for them.
Well, maybe it is. Like maybe this is like the fun house. Yeah.
It's like when you get your...
Butlins for ghosts.
When you get your cat, one of those walkways around the sort of top of the room.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah, I mean, she said that she did it to confuse the ghosts, allowing her to escape.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this poor woman. Her state.
I know. Apparently she wouldn't sleep in the same room two nights on a trot. But then at the same time, she did have a seance room where she would go and talk to the spirits about the house and about the design of the house. So there was a kind of weird thing of her sort of talking with them, but also being frightened of them.
Yeah, she's like fleeing her guilt, but also trying to, you know, ameliorate it. That's incredible.
Mm. I know. It's such a female response, isn't it? It's kind of like, well, I will, but I just don't want to, like, I'll talk
I've
to
got
you.
Boundaries, but I'll see you tomorrow.
Anyway, what are you doing at the weekend?
So it's said to be the most haunted house in America. Wow. Now, this is, it's kind of an interesting thing that, because it's like, you know, I've I don't know. It's hard to know whether it is actually haunted. I mean, it depends if
you
believe in ghosts.
How long were they building it for?
Okay, well, some stats. It has 950 doors, 10,000 windows,
what?
40 stairways, 52 skylights, 47 fireplaces, 6 kitchens and 3 lifts. She took the construction very seriously and she did not stop until she died. How long do you think they were building for? That's my question to you. How long would it take to build all of that?
And then I have an add-on question, which is how has American Horror Story not done this as a season? Because this is amazing.
It feels like also, how many of those chimneys and fireplaces were actually safely working? If we've got stairs going into nowhere, are these chimneys going out to the roof? Or are we all getting smoked to death? Like, what?
It is time for some health and safety questions from former insurance employee Katie Wilkins.
Oh yeah, I got my IFC one. I'm here.
Hannah, I'm so sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sorry.
Just how long
do
you think
that
she missed?
No, not because of you, Katie, because of me. It was my fault. Female worker.
Just basically, I mean, how long does she live? How long is she building this house for? And those stats are the stats from when she
dies. Okay, so she's in her 20s when this starts.
Yeah, late 20s.
I reckon this goes on at least 20 years.
Okay, 20 years, Rosie?
I was thinking 20 years as well, but I'm not even sure she would have lived, if she was late 20s, would she have lived till she was pushing 50? I sort of imagine her not living all that long, so maybe early
40s.
She's
crazy, but the thing is she's rich, so she has the best of everything, but she is
that's
like...
That's true.
Her psychology is probably burning a hole in the rest of her, eating up her body's life force.
It's a sunny climate, though. She's getting lots of vitamin D. We've got to weigh up every fact we've got.
And she's not having any more children. If you had babies over 40 in those days, that was a death sentence.
Who has time for babies
so
when
she
you're building
she can live to
nowhere.
70, 90.
I think she lives to 80. My guess is 82.
That's a long time. Oh, wow. That's like 60
oh,
years.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking windows.
Wow.
And yeah.
I don't know why that's tickled me so much. A lot of fucking
but
windows.
This,
a lot of
also,
fucking windows, fuckface.
This house is being built from dawn till dusk, 24/7 from its inception. And it's how many floors, Hannah?
7 by the end.
So how long does it take
though,
to build 7 floors with no breaks?
Not long. Not long at all.
In the olden days.
The pyramids, even though it's big. But I do wonder if part of the thing was she would tell people to take it apart and rebuild it because you can't keep going to infinity. It's like I used to work in this really strange, posh little boutique when I was in high school. It was called Favorites and everybody who worked there talked like this. And I know I do this voice all the time, but they did. No one ever came in and the clothes were so fucking expensive and I would get so bored that I would mess them up and then refold them. And I feel like her builders are kind of in the same loop. They're in that favorite loop.
So it
loop.
Could be even longer.
Could be even
longer. Yes.
400
well, I will put
years.
You out of your misery. It was 38 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I said at least 20, so I'm kind of right.
You're definitely right. Yeah.
So she
died.
60, early 60s?
Yeah, I guess so. I should have had a sort of like an ongoing thing about her age at certain times. And as we know, maths is impossible. Mm. So it was in 1923 that she died.
Wow.
And he died in 1880. And she, so
like, yeah 40 odd years of her doing this solo.
Yeah. And until that day, construction didn't pause. There was always people on site doing something.
I'm so sorry, but
you wouldn't have that nowadays.
No.
Union rules.
Katie's cat has been in the window this whole time and I haven't said a thing, but like there are moments where just a single paw comes up in the window. Like I can't even see the cat and it's just been, I've got a question. It's been very amusing. Thank
but
you.
Which one of the 100 windows?
I love it when Katie's cat should be there and she'll just be like, staring into the camera.
Aww.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
He's my little deaf cat. He's my best friend.
White cats are often deaf, aren't they? That's a thing.
We got him from Battersea and somebody was overbreeding cats.
Oh, sweetie.
Guys, Sarah died in 1923. Construction didn't stop from when she first started. However, as soon as they heard that she died, apparently the carpenters quit so abruptly that they left half-hammered nails protruding from the
wall. Oh. I wonder how well she was paying any of these poor fuckers too. Like you do worry that they're like, oh,
yeah, it's a goodie or a baddie.
I don't pay the help very terribly much.
But it is interesting, isn't it? Because some people say like that she was actually, it wasn't that she felt she was cursed. It was just that she wanted to keep providing jobs for people. And then part of me thinks that if you're a carpenter, like, or a builder, after a while, like after maybe 37 years, you go, lady, are you sure you want another thing? So it's, who is the bad guys? Is it them taking advantage of her by saying, oh, I think, yeah, you definitely need more stuff.
Oh, can you imagine like the stereotype going, oh, we said this, but it's actually going to cost this 37 years later.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you want a seance room? Oh, that's going to cost you.
Yeah, that quote's not going to work.
She was probably keeping the whole economy going.
Yeah.
Basically, you can go and visit the Winchester Mystery House now.
You have to put on a hard hat.
Oh,
because it is not safe.
I was going to say they must have done a little bit of work on it to make it like tourist safe.
Well, what happened is in 1906, something happened that means it's now a 4-story building. It's no longer 7.
Oh.
What do you think?
Well, I think
don't tell me it was a fire
because
this Rosie just told us a story and... But is it a fire?
I'd have cut it if it was a fire. Okay. We're very...
It's gone from 7 to 4. What happened? Half of it collapsed.
Or what?
Well, yes, but why?
Was it a fire?
Earthquake!
Earthquake! Oh. Yes, it was the great San Francisco earthquake caused the top 3 floors to cave in.
Of course. Damn.
Sarah was in the house at the time, trapped in one of the rooms, but because she had these people around her the whole time, they were able to dig her out.
So that's not how she died?
No, it's not how she died. That was in 1906.
Oh, 1906.
She had 9
but
lives.
But the thing I found quite interesting is, like, I mean, how much of this is kind of like hearsay, but the idea was that in 1906, she was like saying, I think we might almost be done here. You know, I think I'm going to stop building. Earthquake almost dies. She carries on building for another.
Oh, she takes it as a sign that her work is not
done. Another 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I've watched so many videos of this place of people doing tours, and like lots of YouTubers go there and they let people in and they do like ghost hunts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's amazing and I 100% want to go if I ever go to America. I mean, it looks great because like I say, it's all quite beautiful. It's all really, really like some of the stained glass is just amazing because she's so rich. Like I think it was Tiffany, you know, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Of the diamond.
Oh, that Tiffany.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the, I think we're alone now. It doesn't seem to be anyone around.
But there are loads of ghosts.
There's two Tiffany's.
You made you some
one.
Stained glass.
Yeah, there's 3 and the other one is from EastEnders.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, apparently there was like a Tiffany made a window and it was this window that was all diamonds.
Wow.
And it sort of had this thing that when the sun came in, it sort of reflected off everything. But then she put it in the middle of the house where there was no sunlight.
Wow.
Well, why not?
In all these YouTube videos and stuff, are there any like ghosty things?
Well, there's tons of stuff where, but you know, you can watch any amount of ghost hunters and they will have heard something.
So does it look like legit like ghosty stuff or is it people being dicks?
It might be people sort of trying to scare themselves.
Yeah.
And they kind of lean into it, like they have like Halloween stuff at the place. And but
I mean, have you seen any legit ghost stuff on YouTube?
Yeah, come on,
if there is, I would like to check it out.
I thought I saw a ghost when I was a kid.
Really?
In my bedroom when I was a kid. And I ran into my mum and dad and they told me it was just the moon.
Wow.
So, but I don't know what the moon was doing floating across the room. But I did feel a sense of a sort of white, floaty, you know, the classic kind of Scooby-Doo ghosts floating across the room.
Oh, man. And how old was your...
We're back to Casper.
How old was your childhood house?
Yeah,
so like a Victorian?
Oh, no, more modern than that. But I have felt that it sort of maybe has a bit of a presence in one particular room. Like, I don't know, the ghost, I think, just stays in that particular room. And I don't feel it's like a weird, sinister presence. It's fine. But I don't know if I really believe in it. But I feel like there might be something just in that one room. So I guess our Winchester lady... She was maybe right to move around rooms because the ghosts might have their favourites that they kind of settle in.
And then she can escape her favourite bit.
Mm.
Definitely. Mm. And also, you know, at the time, like spiritualism and all of this stuff was so big at that time in the way that now, you know, we have Casper the Friendly Ghost, and we're kind of like, oh, even if I didn't need a ghost, I guess he'll be a cute little kid and that'll be fine. So it was a different time. So she properly believed it. So when she died, all of her possessions, apart from the house, were bequeathed to her niece. And like, what's interesting is she didn't leave the house to anyone in her will. She didn't even mention it in her will. And I don't know whether that's
because
they didn't want...
the government though, right?
I guess so, but maybe she didn't want to pass on the curse. That's what I kind of thought. Is that what... So basically, bringing it to the end, she sold it. Appraiser said the house was worthless due to the damage caused by the earthquake, the unfinished design, and the impractical nature of its construction. So how much do you think it was sold for at auction? The equivalent today.
The equivalent today.
Oh.
Well, see, now it's clearly a moneymaker again, though, isn't it? But did somebody know that at the time? Was it all like a bit of a bluff? Like, oh, it's worth nothing. You better not buy it. I mean... maybe someone could like rent it out to ghost hunters, maybe me, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, you probably don't want to buy this.
Oh, the equivalent today, 15 million.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still four stories. Yes.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful house.
I mean, never mind that three have fallen off.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pile of rubble, but technically...
it's got potential.
Copper pipes, like we need more info.
Yeah, if it was on a place in the sun, who would be buying it?
So it was sold to a local investor for the equivalent now of $2 million. So not worthless, but also, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of real estate for $2 million that you're getting, which was $135,000 at the time.
So like if there was a four-story house that was safe, what would that have sold for?
That's a good question. What twice was the that? Was a, like
that seems like a bargain. Yeah. I'm just I think that sounds like
does.
A bargain.
Like probably
because I do live on real estate shows. Like that is my therapy, my massage. In place of those things during lockdown.
Yeah.
Real estate shows.
You
want
to watch the people going, we can't buy this one. The wall is blue. You could paint it. No, we can't buy it.
Yeah, I enjoy getting angry at people and also feeling happy for people. And there's such a great blend of those. It's got everything
we
you
always
need.
Do. We always have like certain things, like the catchphrase that Toby and I always look out for on A Place with the Sun. It's, I can picture myself here, glass of wine. Yeah. Like every single time I say, glass of wine. And so every time they say it, we always
and
say
you get to drink a glass of wine. That's your like drinking game.
Yay. Such a good drinking game because it's on at like 2 in the afternoon. Guys, I've got one last question. When they emptied the house, they found a safe that was behind like a fake door and a metal door. It was totally Sarah's stuff. But inside it were three items. What do you think they were?
A book about Shakespeare bacon.
Nice.
Shaken bacon.
A pot of gold.
Pot of gold.
And her marriage certificate.
Nice. Okay. No, three nice items there, Katie. Rosie, what are you thinking?
Well, I kind of feel like it's got to be a fax machine, a tennis racket, and some roller skates.
Yes. Nice.
Love it. Love it. Taylor cannot top that.
No, come on. I'm not following that.
I mean, very sadly, it was the obituaries for her husband, her daughter, and a lock of her daughter's hair.
Oh.
Yeah, so after all that, she was always thinking about them. And I think that's really kind of like, it's kind of sad, but also like, I'm so pleased this woman had that much money that she could kind of do what she pleased. And she was just like...
But also...
I don't know, the more I look into her...
No, if she could have just afforded a therapist, her therapist would have said, what are you avoiding by building this giant house?
Yeah, totally. I mean, 100%. So here is to therapy and to Sarah Winchester.
Yay! Cheers.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
So this is from Steph. Dear Drunk Women, when I first moved to Brighton, I lodged with a friend of my auntie's, in brackets, hated it. Okay. I had a room with a little Juliet balcony. It was nice, but the landlady was a nightmare. So I used to spend as much time as I could with my now at my now husband's house. One weekend, I got back to be told that workmen would be using my room as a thoroughfare to the balcony to hook wires up or something outside. I didn't have much choice, so I said okay and solidified my plans to move out. I got used to the sight that week of numerous men traipsing in and out of my room and was pleased when it was over. Until I got a phone call telling me that my credit card had been used at a Hilton hotel in Croydon.
Oh.
And was this me? my initial reaction, apart from telling the person on the other end of the phone that if I was going to max out my credit card, it would be somewhere like Paris, not Croydon. And I was shocked because I kept this credit card, my only credit card, in my knicker drawer. I was so scared of using it, and it had a tiny balance. I used it once on eBay using PayPal. So either my landlady had used it, some internet scammer had used it, or a strange man had rifled through my underwear drawer when he was supposed to be working. Please help me solve this mystery. I've never had a credit card since, nor have I ever been to Croydon. And that's from Steph.
Wow, Steph. I don't want to jump to number three, but my head jumped to number three. The rifling through the drawer.
The man rifling through. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean... And then seducing a sexy lady at the Croydon Hilton. I mean, there's a chance it's internet fraud. But it, like...
I feel like PayPal is pretty secure. Like, at the moment, we're having problems with PayPal because we started it using the name Drunk Women Solving Crime. So emails from PayPal will come to us going, "Dear Drunk." And we were like, "This is so funny." And then, of course, now they're like, "Of course we're not giving you any of your money because it says Dear Drunk." So they think that we're the fraudsters.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to go to the Hilton Hotel in Croydon. So
I know Croydon had a Hilton, to be fair. I mean... Just throwing that out there.
I think I did an interview with somebody there for a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they look shifty?
Well, maybe a little bit. I mean, I was thinking it's a good job Our Lady Winchester didn't hire the kind of people that would rifle through people's knicker drawers. I mean, they just got on with the job, didn't they? Her lot just carried on building those stories and extra floors. Back in the old days, they wouldn't have been going through knicker drawers and stealing credit cards and nipping off the Croydon. Certainly not from San Jose. That would have been a trek.
And they would have been bloomer drawers.
Bloomer drawers, they would indeed. Bloomers.
Can I be interruptive? I don't want to be an asshole. You can probably tell that I keep looking at my phone.
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah, well, I'm only bringing this up because... I have heard my daughter trying to get in the door for the last like 20 minutes. And she does this a lot, as you know, and it pisses me off. And then I get angry at my husband. So I text him like, "Where the fuck are you? Control your daughter. I control her when you're working." So I just texted and he hadn't seen my text. And then he wrote, "What are you talking about? I'm right here with her. She hasn't gone anywhere." And we've been talking about ghosts. And now I'm like,
Oh no!
Because I have heard the doorknob like tick 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 tick, and I don't understand.
Is he like
there's a ghost in this room? Like when we moved in, he's like, "Yeah, like my husband believes in ghosts like hardcore," and he's like, "It's not a sinister presence, you know. He wants to look after us, but like this is his room," and I'm like, "Don't tell me this stuff. Like I got to write in here."
Mate, become a disassociated scientist like me.
Okay. I'm so sorry to interrupt, because I know I was like looking so distracted, so I wanted to let you in on like what's happening now.
I can see
the darkness on the other side.
Not to throw my husband under the bus, but sometimes he's like, we've done all this stuff. And I'm like, "You've been on your phone and they've been all over the fucking house." Like...
Your husband is great, but he tweets so much to the point that you just need to look at that. And that's like, "Were you on your phone when you tweeted that? Or when you tweeted that? Or when you tweeted that?" Like, yeah, you literally tweeted, "Oh, don't know where the kids are." Like,
I do the same thing with our new disabled kitten, Ziggy, he's called. And my girlfriend puts him outside for a little bit in the garden and then says, "We'll let him in 10 minutes. And then an hour later, she'll come and say, "Is he still outside?" I'll be, "Oh, yeah, I forgot." But he likes it in the garden.
He wobbles
around. He's got wobbly cat syndrome and he wobbles around the garden. It's totally a thing. His legs don't quite work properly. It's a bit shaky and wobbly on his legs. Bless him. And he can't really jump up onto the sofa and stuff. He just falls over.
Okay. I mean, I came into this hormonal and I'm going to leave this a mess now.
I'm sorry.
That's too much.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's in a good way. Like, I just want to help all the wobble chickens.
He has so much love. Look, it's all good.
True, yeah.
I mean, Steph, I think what we're saying is
Steph. This is all very, very relevant. A ghost took your card and went to the Hilton Croydon. Let's look into the history. We got a Ghostbuster this shit. Let's look at what was on that site. It's probably a graveyard.
Realistically, some lads rifled through your undies. And
or
I'm
some
sorry.
Lads rifled through your undies.
I don't want a stereotype. Is that a stereotype? I wouldn't have made that stereotype. Apropos of nothing.
Apropos.
What we're saying, Steph.
Right? I speak Latin too. I'm like Lady Winchester.
You're wearing your bloomers right now.
Oh, boy, am I. I wear some giant pants. They're so comfy.
I didn't do the Patreon shout outs. Guys, I'm so sorry. And I've been interrupted with my ghost problems and my hormones. And
mate, you didn't choose to have ghosts.
No one chooses to have ghosts except for this woman we just talked about. She chose that life. Okay, ready? It's embarrassing rap coming straight out of Brighton. Hannah and Katie are looking kind of frightened, but this is the time when our patrons get a shout. I can't always be Cattrall or that shit'll get worn out. So come on, everyone. Let's tell supporters they're the bomb. And you can come aboard at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Hey, the first person up shouted out, it's Eleanor. They didn't leave their surname, so the name is not a chore. Next up is a person who I bet likes kale. I might have got that wrong. Sorry, Laura McPhail. And then an Uber driver. Yeah, I hear they drive a Prius. It's a super awesome legend called Helen Andreas. Now, I think that this name might be Emily Sonoglaise, but I probably fucked it up because I only speak Anglais. Anglais. Our penultimate supporter has a writer's name, I feel. Best-selling novelist. That's right, Diana Steele. And last but not least, we've got a Stephen Allen to the rest of our patrons. We thank you by the gallon.
Yay!
Oh, man.
Nice.
Wow. That was the ghost rapping. We have a hip-hop ghost.
Mate, well, I would be haunted by that ghost any day. Cheers. Thank you to our patrons, and mostly thank you for making Taylor have to come up with something new every week, and I look forward to it so much. It's so fun. So you have to join up, really, to see what she'll do next. I really dread to think. So thank you, Taylor. But all that leaves for us to do now is to say, Rosie, tell us, what are you up to? You've got a new book out. Tell us everything.
Yes, that's right. I have a podcast called The Breakup Monologues.
Yes.
Where we discuss crimes of love, if you like, and getting dumped, getting ghosted, in fact. And so we talk about people's breakup stories, how they got over a breakup, or how sometimes people stay together and even avoid a breakup. I think, Katie, your husband chatted about how to actually stay in a lovely marriage.
Oh, good for him.
So that podcast I've been doing for 2 or 3 years, and I was lucky enough to get a book deal to write the Breakup Monologues book, which combines some other people's stories with my own story of why I've been obsessively thinking about breakups and exploring them for years. Cool. And my struggle to finally stay in a relationship with my girlfriend now, or should I say fiance.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So the Breakup Monologues book, it comes out at the end of May, published by Bloomsbury. Cool. You can pre-order it now.
Nice. Love it.
That's so cool. And obviously you can find all the episodes of the podcast wherever you get your podcast, The Breakup Monologues.
Yeah, that's right. I'm on Twitter at Rosie Wilby, and you can find the podcast at Breakup Monologues on Instagram.
Cool.
Love it. Well, all that remains for us to say is thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, you were great.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.